Host once again, and welcome to some more wonderful, wonderful opportunities to have your life working better. We have made a commitment here at Advanced Living Radio to help things to flow for you, to help things to get easier in your life, and we've had a prayer that we put forth to help focus in on what it is that's important. And we say daily, Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely, healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so that we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. Well, get ready for a treat today. You know, we're going to have a wonderful guest coming in, and before we get to that, just to remind you, our show is brought to you by AdvancedLiving.com, home of the Comfort Clock. When you get a moment, check that out. You will be amazed at how this little plug-in unit will make your life better. Today, oh boy, we always want joy. Well, guess what we've got today? Barbara Joy. Yes. And if you haven't heard of her yet, oh, you're in for a treat. And if you're already a fan of hers, well, then have another dose of this wonderful, wonderful person. Her newest book, The Light One, W-O-N. You know, like we gotta have things coming together. We wanna have success. Well, Barbara, talk about a wonderful background. She began her personal professional career in a fast-paced, highly competitive world of corporate finance and business accounting. So talk about your feet on the ground. And then had a meteoric rise to success and distinguished herself as an extremely savvy business leader through her unique ability to create innovative and highly effective new business models and ways for both individuals, yeah, that's us folks here, and companies, you know, entrepreneurs, big companies, to create consistent, groundbreaking results. And her professional career has just become so amazing, whether it's relationship management, whether it's human performance optimization. She's expert in these areas. She's used all of that to create win-win scenarios for both individuals and corporations. And as you will learn, we'll get into a little bit about different aspects of her book. She has also created an organization called the Conscious Connection Center. So it's sort of like if you go to Mexico and they say yes a lot, CCC, well, the Conscious Connection Center. Okay, so that's the acronym for that. And the core focus and mission is to connect people to their own inner greatness and power, and to connect people to one another, and to connect businesses together to support each other in achieving results that both individuals and businesses have not been able to previously achieve on their own separately. So are you ready, folks? Welcome, Barbara Joy.
Thank you, Ken. That was quite an intro. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I am here in just excited anticipation to get some of the sometimes we call it secrets or just some of the things that are second nature to you because you've spent all these years doing it, and we're sitting here going, look, we all need help. There isn't a person out here that is operating at optimal. You know, my life is not on Ferrari level. Okay, sometimes I wonder if all the spark plug wires are plugged in. Sputter, sputter.
So, what great analogies.
Well, thank you.
And you are absolutely right, as I have both for my own life, just as you shared, Ken, and for the life of the clients I have the opportunity to work with, I've yet to meet an individual who's utterly delighted with every aspect of their life. And in fact, most of us are pretty mediocre at best about how life is going. And so, like you said, I was in corporate. I went from the finance side to the people side. And quite frankly, I found the people side a lot more interesting. And then I decided that that wasn't the framework that I thought might optimize the most people, because it is people optimization that really sparks me, watching individuals, groups, teams, if you will, really come to life because they understand themselves. When I decided to leave corporate, and I left it on very good terms because it, as you said, it served me very well, and I certainly hoped I served it well, I decided to earn some certifications to allow me to more successfully assist people. Those certifications were my past life regression therapy, so a hypnotherapist, as well as a life coach. Those gave me additional skill sets besides those I had brought from corporate. And I began the business of assisting people in connecting to their higher knowing.
Oh.
And that's where it all started, if you will. That was the beginning point. And that's kind of where I thought it would end up. And that would be awesome. That would be fun and really let me feel like I'd help make a difference in the world, because I believe we as individuals are what's going to make a difference in the world. And,
absolutely. Now, this is quite a change from the background of corporate finance and business accounting to go into some of this intuitive and life coaching and Did it take a while, or did that come natural to you?
I will say both are true, that it took a while and it came naturally. It took a while because I was in finance, I was having a good career, and I kept looking over at other areas of the industry I was in and saying that it looks like they're having fun too. And not one to sit still well. It's not one of my core strengths. I actually volunteered for a couple of laterals because the company needed someone in that position that they knew kind of how they operated. And that's when I got into the what I'll call the client relationships arena. And so that was felt like a huge jump. And I began to work with our clients and with teams of customer service individuals serving clients. And that led me to begin to understand people better. And because I believe client relationship that is about relationships, not just a client-supplier scenario, I became friends with a lot of my clients at one level or another as appropriate for the business. And as I learned more and more, it just seemed to me that there was so much that could be accomplished if we all kind of got out of our own way a little bit.
Oh, no, not getting out of our own way.
Yes!
I don't know if I could put up with that. Well, that would certainly be refreshing to do. Now, your book, The Light One, that's such a, I love it because of the seems like a play with words, because when I hear it, if you don't see the things, the light one, I think of people telling me, look, lighten up, because sometimes I'm in what I call serious condition.
Yes.
I'm letting the world and the condition of the world affect how I am perceiving myself and my role and my connection to spirit and whether I'm in happy mode or Mr. Grimm, as I sometimes think of myself. And then when I think of, here's this book, The Light One, it says to me, I'm so intrigued because it could mean so much. Would you help us to know a little bit about the primary message of the book?
I would love to, Ken. The Light One, the primary message is very simple and very eloquent, and at the same time puts a great deal of responsibility on each and every one of us. The Light One basically says, and I co-authored this book with the angelic realm. That's the phraseology I like to use. It basically says that centuries ago, the game of duality ended, the game of light and dark, and the Light won. And when the Light won, any shadows that remained were shadows of our own creation. And when they say our own, they're talking about humanity's creation.
Wow.
Yes. And then it goes on to say that if there's, you know, and again, I'm really paraphrasing and taking big chunks and synthesizing them down, that since the Light won, there's no one who's responsible for the condition of the earth and our own individual lives than we as individuals and the society that we have agreed to operate within.
Well, geez, I think if this being the case, I might be able to throw away my It's My Fault t-shirt. That's so important to walk around, that mea culpa.
Yes.
It's like, oh my gosh, what did I do? What didn't I do? Why me? And so this is like breakthrough stuff you're talking about.
It's breakthrough and it's not. Ken, and I'll be very honest on this. It is an expansion of the books that have come before that have kind of laid the groundwork. It's, as I see it, it's kind of like building a wall, a stone wall or preparing a road. You need those levels that first flatten and then kind of add on top. The Secret and other books like that, Asking It Is Given, they allowed us to perceive the possibility of shifting our lives, that we could become who we want to be. This book takes it to the next level. And as I was working with these, the angelic realm, the energies in my living room, as I called them, they talked about it and they said, we always respond. And if you don't see it in your life, then you have a belief in the way. And I said, okay, now, on all due respect, I hear that, I understand that. That's been written about. I need to take it further if we're going to go out with anything that's meaningful for mankind. And that's why it became a tutorial. Because in this book, it talks about why we don't shift beliefs. It talks about how to know what your beliefs are. It talks about creation and co-creation. And it's not a large book. It's very succinct. It's very intense. And so in that way, yes, Ken, you do get to throw away your t-shirt that said, you know, what did I do wrong? And, or, you know, where did I make a mistake or whatever? And you get to replace it with a t-shirt that says, I'm responsible. I'm in control.
Okay. This is huge. Now, when you make mention of this ability in your book, is this kind of like, you know, beginner's guide? I mean, do we need some sophisticated background to be able to make use of some of this stuff to analyze our beliefs or to make some breakthroughs? Or?
No, absolutely not. If it takes anything, if there is any prerequisite, if you will, all it takes is a willingness to consider that we are each responsible for our own lives. And again, as I sat there, I have a very inquisitive nature, and as the energy and the information kind of came in, I ask questions like, well, what about, you know, the kind of global issues? And the answer was very simple. If you support the society that makes the decisions to create the global issue, then you're helping create it. And that one person at a time shifting their agreement with society, if you will, shifting what they're willing to support or not support, one person at a time, the entire shift occurs. And it's from the writing about shifting, and then because I do work with some corporate teams, I created some shift cards, because that was what I'd been hearing for days on end as we were discussing the book, that I went in and gave out some shift cards to use in a team meeting where there was some challenges. And
when you say shift cards, is this like a deck of cards with different things on them about the aspects of making changes or shifts?
That deck of cards came later. These happen to be very simple. So thank you for that lead-in. These cards happen to be very simple. They were about a third of a page with the word shift on them. I like to keep it simple as I test things out and utilize things, as you can see.
Yes. Well, I want to refer folks to go to the website. I love the one that's for you, www.theshiftguru.com. And then on the page there, as you scroll down, the bumper sticker, which I'd love to have on my T-shirt, do you have your shift together?
Right. Well, and that is because when I handed out the shift cards, as human beings do, one of the gentlemen in the room quickly covered up the S, and I got a little agitated, I'll be honest, and then I thought, no, I can have fun with this. Because the shift card.
Oh no.
Oh yes.
Oh no. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Okay, because there may not be any children present, and if there are, please put your fingers in their ears. What I just heard you say is that you help put the F in shit.
Well, that could be another way to say it, but yes
it could.
You know what? I may have to use that as a bumper sticker as well. Thank you, Ken. That's a great idea.
Well, just include me as the source so that we can all keep supporting each other, because what you're doing is so amazing. When we can make that, and by F, I'm talking about fun.
Yeah.
So now we have this group. Tell me a little bit more, because here we were in this meeting where you'd handed out these cards,
and what I recommended they use the cards for, because it was a group having challenge forming up and being in alignment with each other, is instead of verbally saying something to the other person like, I don't think you're in alignment or whatever they might have said, I said, hold up the shift card, because by definition, and we defined it for the group, what this card means is moving out of ego or out of kind of being way out there and not caring a whole lot about anything and moving it into balance with the team and into what the purpose of the group was for. So it was a very simple tool to remind people why they were at the meeting without getting in anyone's face, without any negative vibrations going on. And it proved to be very beneficial for that group, on that day, and I understand in future meetings. So at the next meeting, we're there, and they all had their shift cards with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, one of them said, Barbara, you're the shift guru. And we laughed, and a little later on, I was talking with the gentleman. I was, redesigning websites and doing what you do when you kind of ramp it up a little bit, if you will. And he said, well, what do you want your title to be? And I said, well, in the meeting earlier today, I got called the shift guru. So I don't like any of the traditional titles. They're all kind of heavy. So why don't we just go with that and have fun? Ken, to your point, have fun.
Mm.
And if you look further on my website, you'll see that there is a link to become a certified shift guru.
Ah.
And the reason for that link is there's only one person that can change a person's life, and that is the individual. So because I'm not looking to stand on any pedestals, because I understand it's quite a fall from the top, I'm looking...
Well, that's why they have parachutes.
And I've never been into jumping out of parachute airplane.
Exactly. I wouldn't do it by myself. I had to be strapped to someone to really do it.
Well, you're a brave man.
But it's a thrill. So you want to encourage us, basically, to, from that place of self-responsibility, if I'm hearing correctly, to give us some of the tools that are going to help us to actually make these changes and not wait for someone to come along. And I love the old metaphor of, you know, being on the Roman galley. You know, it's like one slave sitting there, you know, with the oar next to the other going, well, what are you going to do today? And, you know, chained to an oar, you know, it's like, I don't know, how many times do you think we'll get whipped? And so here you are with this. This is wonderful. I'm curious, Barbara. You know, we were talking about, you know, helping to facilitate shifts. And in your book, I don't know if there's some things about beliefs or there's certain common beliefs that you find there are some of the biggies that get in people's ways, or is it each one has their own special goodies to get some help with that they can do, you know, some things support by your book? What do you think?
Well, what they did, some of the examples in the book, because the formula that came in, if we'll call it a formula, is that beliefs, which are very insidious, they're very deep in our core, we typically can't simply state a belief. We can say what we believe in or believe, but that's not the belief level that, as I understand it, again, from working with these amazing energies, the beliefs that really run our lives. And so I said, well, how can we understand what those beliefs are? How can we get to them? How can we connect to them to shift them? And they said, well, beliefs create positions that we hold in our lives. I said, okay. And positions, you can know what position you hold. One of the ways to know is by listening to what you say, whether internally, only in your thinking, or what you physically speak. And they called those mentalities. And then from the mentalities, you can see the outcomes. And in the book are a number of examples of century-old beliefs that they indicated, the energies indicated, we are still holding as a cultural and as individuals. And they kind of went into which ones they encourage us to still hold and which ones they kind of don't think are valuable anymore.
Ah, okay. So there's, what, like maybe 5, 10, you know, a number of these that a person could look at on a checklist?
There absolutely are, and there are, I believe, 5 that are really well-defined. So we can begin, because they use in those, they show the positions, and then they speak to the mentalities, and that gives us an ability to begin to grasp our own positions and mentalities. So that, and in that way, it's a tutorial.
Huh.
It really gives us the tools.
Okay. Now, would you, and I know this because you have the name Joy, and and when we go to, you know, look at this picture of you, it's, you know, such a happy, joyous picture. I'm thinking of a little bit of teasing. Could
yeah.
you perhaps tease us with maybe one of those group of the beliefs so that it piques my interest so I have to actually get your book to get the others?
I would love to joyfully tease you.
Okay.
One of them that they speak about is that there was a time in our history when it was appropriate for the community to be more important than the individual. And from that time in our history, we created the belief of being a servant.
Mm.
and that there were, and by the way, let me back up for just a moment.
Okay. There, now don't fall over.
No, I'm not going to fall over. I'll be very careful. Their perceptions are every belief we've ever held has had value at that time that it was held or created. The question is, do they have value now?
Uh-huh.
So we can't say bad belief. They took away a lot of our abilities to point outside of ourselves. So during this time in history, it was very appropriate to be a servant to the culture. It was appropriate, and they gave lots of reasons why it was appropriate. And they said at about the 14th or 15th century, that went out of vogue. And I loved how they used those kind of interesting terms because I was, you know, like you said earlier, putting the fun into it. They really had some fun with their terminology.
Ah.
And that now we, particularly those of us who are here to assist humanity, to help change things, to be, you know, healers, if you will, and I know some wonderful healers. I don't happen to consider myself one. That
okay. Are you at least up to mediocre, if not wonderful?
I'm not mediocre. I'll give myself a fun healer. How's that?
Okay.
is it we're still being servants, and that's a belief to release.
Okay.
That's a belief to just say, you know. And they're really clear. Don't be a servant to anyone.
Ah.
Be of service
okay.
to everyone.
Ah, wow, that's huge. Now, can I ask a question? Because I know that your book has got a lot of spirituality as well as practicality in it,
yes.
Which I think is a wonderful combination. Talk about in the number of spiritual practices about serving God and being a servant to God. And I'm just wondering if there's a, you know, if we shift that a little bit or if that stays in place while we then want to be of service or, you know, can you shine a little light on that area?
I absolutely can, because that was one of my questions of the energies, just as it is yours, Ken. One of the things we did, and it's on the very early pages on, is there's a definition page, if you will. And in it, I was given clear directive to use the divine, the all. And that's because they didn't want this book to deal with any dogma. So the divine, the all is any, no matter what religion, no matter what belief system, and it references in early and then sporadically throughout the book. Because the intention of this is that it is not a particular dogma. What it says, and this is the part on co-creation, so with that as kind of a basis, what it says is it asks us, and again, in this there is no, this is the way to, you must believe. That doesn't exist in this book. They're making recommendations to mankind. They are, they're clear, and they state over and over it's a free will universe. Sometimes they say bummer after that, because choice sometimes isn't the easiest.
Wow.
Yeah.
In other words, I'm just kind of wondering, I've seen some shows on TV at different times where around the end of the Civil War and when the Emancipation Proclamation came in and the slaves were freed, and they would run in and, okay, you're free, and people that had been enslaved for several generations, whatever, it's like, okay, yeah, so now what? I'm
right.
Free. What?
Right. And I will tell you, Ken, there's a little of this here, because they're not, they kind of refuse to give us, they give us a lot of pathways, they give us a lot of possibilities, but they refuse to say this is right and this is wrong, because that's duality.
Mm.
And the game of duality is over.
Ah,
yeah,
okay. Wow.
This is an action-packed little book, if you will.
Gosh, I guess. When you talk about duality, I don't know if everyone, you know, resonates with that, but when you, could you explain a little bit more in terms of no more right, wrong, good, bad, some of this to help clarify and especially not only what you mean by it, but what do we do when we step away from it?
How do we live without duality? Because it's such a core tenet of our world, of our society. What they said is that the game of duality, when the light won, the game of duality ended. And that the dance of relationship is what they recommend we begin embracing. The dance of relationship says that compared to duality, says that we are all seeing a situation from our position, our perspective, and our perspective and our position give us possibilities, and from that we make our choices. It doesn't say that there is intended to be mass, you know, everybody can do whatever they want and that's okay. It simply says that, think about a situation or a conversation you have with someone, and I'll use myself as an example, where I just want to go, well, just don't you understand? And instead they're saying, that's, you know, Barbara, that's you trying to be right. What if instead you said, tell me more about what you're seeing. Tell me more about the possibilities you perceive. Tell me more about why you came to your conclusion. And again, they're not asking that we practice this widespread. We have certain norms and customs in our society called laws and rules and, you know, driving regulations. But to begin with, as we interface with our other fellow humans one-on-one or company to company, that we begin to spend a few moments understanding the other individual's perspective.
Wow, that sounds like the Native Americans, one of their sayings about don't judge someone else until you walk a mile in their moccasins.
It has a lot in relationship with that. And that to me, I remember when I heard that, because I would sit down with my typewriter and essentially feel like I was listening to a conversation. I remember when I heard that, it felt so gentle. It felt peaceful. Instead of having to hold to a position, I instead could look and say, what position are you coming from? Doesn't mean I change mine, or it might, but I don't have to. It means I gain more knowledge, more awareness, more openness to everything that is. So that's what they're saying about the end of duality and the game of duality and the beginning of, and they recommend, let me state that very clearly, there is no you must, but they recommend moving into the dance of relationship.
Okay, and beginning to, for instance, typically, let's say, can you give possibly an example in a family setting? It could be, you know, spouses talking or parent to child, where some situation comes up and kind of like the before and after of how this scenario might play out to come to a better place of harmony and understanding?
Yes, I have a perfect example. I happen to have a grown son. And, of course, as a grown son, he has the opportunity to listen to a lot of my awarenesses. And the other evening, he was telling me, because he likes to give me feedback on testing out some of my theories, he calls them. The other evening, he was with two other gentlemen, young gentlemen, and they were sitting around. And one of them, I know this is very basic, wanted some ice cream, but didn't have any gas in his car. So, you know, my son said, well, why don't the three of us go get ice cream? Well, the gentleman who kind of planted the seed, I really don't want to go anywhere. Well, the apartment kind of needed some cleaning. So so what my son said, well, okay. And he before would have said, well, you know, if you don't want to go and you don't have the gas, then I'm just not going to do ice cream. Or I won't, you know, I'll go, but you're not getting any. I mean, we would have taken that right-wrong scenario, stand, if you will,
yeah.
or may have. Instead, he said, okay, well, if I'm willing to run for the ice cream, which you are the one that, you know, wanted, but I kind of like the idea, what are you willing to do? And the long and the short of it is the young gentleman scrubbed the kitchen floor, if you can imagine. I would have been much happier jumping in a car and getting ice cream. However, he sent his order. The other two ran the errand, got the ice cream. They got back. The kitchen floor was scrubbed.
Mm.
That's a perfect example of creating a true win-win-win.
Yeah. Wow. I love it.
And see how simple it is? We just don't get to get our backs up and trench in and, no, you know, we just don't get to go there. Or we can if we choose to. But look how much easier, a daily, you know, an actual event that happened last week in my son's life. I loved it. I loved the explanation. I was really pleased that he had actually listened and tested out one of the things I'd come up with.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, here's another promo idea for you.
Yeah.
I love this one. Let me see if it meets the Shift Guru approval rating.
Yeah.
I was just seeing a little sticker.
Yeah.
That could be peeled and placed, something hopefully that, could be small, but to commemorate. So here's this kitchen floor, and they peel off this little sticker and put it on the wall or somewhere. It says, "Shift happened here."
Oh, nice.
To commemorate that breakthrough moment.
Yes.
Isn't that sweet?
I like that.
I knew you would. A spirit just told me, yippee, this is a big one.
That, because that continues to reinforce it in a lighthearted manner.
Absolutely. And then people look and they go, what's this? It says shift happened here.
Yeah. And then they get to tell the story.
Yeah.
And people go, wow.
Yeah.
And you asked about earlier, and I think I let myself get sidetracked, about working with God and the divine.
Uh-huh.
When we co-create, when we create the win-win-win, where it's good for the planet, it's good for all the individuals, and it's good for the energetic realm, they call it.
Yeah.
Then we are serving God.
Hmm. Ah, wonderful.
Okay, so it really, and again, it's, that's why it's a tutorial in co-creation.
Huh. Yeah, so we're not just reading a book for something to go, oh, that was interesting. You're wanting this for actually people to pick it up and take action steps, huh?
Yes. Yes.
Mm. Okay. Now, you don't send anyone out to check up on us, do you?
Mm. Well, I do have the angelic realm at work here. You
know? Ah, okay. I knew there was an accountability factor here somewhere.
And they might just look for all these little feel and play stickers around your house or your car or your office.
Yeah, you get enough of them, and all of a sudden, now the question comes up, how many shift happened here stickers do you need to be able to levitate, you know?
Ooh, now there's a question.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to ask that question the next time they float into my living room. I want to know when I can levitate. How many shift happened here stickers do I need?
Yeah, just how good do we get at this, and all of a sudden the feet don't touch the ground anymore.
That's right.
We are just like bubbling over with joy and just literally floating in the ethers. Well, gosh, doesn't that sound like a trip?
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah. Now, well, tell me, I'm so curious, there's a couple of websites we want to, help people to know once again how to connect with you.
Yes.
So there's one website, the www.wonlight-1won.com. .com, okay. And then
that is only about the book.
Okay.
So it gives, and we will soon be putting a trailing video on there for people to get even more insights into the book.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
We're having fun with this.
Yeah, I'd like to get a rerun of that floor being done.
That was not on video, sadly. That would have been great to have taped or videoed that whole conversation of these three young men sitting around talking and trying to decide how to get an ice cream cone.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, if you've watched a few television commercials, there'll be times where they will put at the bottom of a screen, you're viewing a reenactment of an actual situation.
That's true.
And, you know, so, I mean, who knows what examples you'll come up with, but that certainly is a, you know, is a wonderful one for, you know, we get ice cream and a clean floor. I didn't know they could go together.
It seems like a unique combination, doesn't it?
Yeah, so.
Well, and on the Shift Guru site, theshiftguru.com.
Okay.
Where the button where they... individuals can apply to be a shift guru. One of the things I've indicated there is asking if they'd be willing to let me share their stories.
Now, which button? I'm on the shift guru. And then do I go to shift?
No, it should be, I don't have it up in front of me.
That's okay. I went to links, and then there's something about third-party links.
No.
And I know we've got a two-party system in our country.
Yes.
So now, oh my gosh, this is confusing.
Links.
So.
It may be on shift down toward the bottom where there is a, you know, to become a certified shift guru.
Oh, okay.
That may be where it is. I'm not certain of that.
There it is.
Oh, good.
You nailed it. Oh, I'm telling you, got angels talking in your ear there, girl.
A lot of the time.
To obtain such a certification, all you have to do is make a significant shift in your life,
mm-hmm.
and then you can click here, and we don't know what'll happen, folks. But there's a beautiful infinity shape when you go to this website and click on shift. I love it.
And I have had the fun of actually, you know, creating Shift Guru certificates, and I have a seal and everything, because nothing would make me happier than to have every household have a Shift Guru, and every individual know that they have shifted their lives, because if they know they have, they know they can.
Mm-hmm.
That would just please me purple, I guess is the way to say it.
Yeah, which purple. Is one of the colors that you use in the background of the Shift Guru website.
It is.
I'm telling you. So no wonder you'd be pleased purple.
Purple.
And there's a different gradients of purple here, so it's not just one purple that you are being pleased.
No.
It looks like here, look at this, web designed by creative business consultants, hanging out with some good people, I bet.
Yes, I am.
Oh.
Creative business consultants, says they've helped me rebrand, they've helped me with the book so that it is able to be launched in the appropriate manner, and so that we connected, Ken.
Ah, oh, fantastic. Well, I'm just delighted. This is some real value for myself personally, as well as for my listeners, and a delight to bring this kind of things forward. A quick pause once again here to invite people to go to advancedliving.com, our sponsor for the program, so that we can learn about the comfort technology, that Jack Canfield, Reverend Michael Beckwith, so many wonderful people out there, just plug in this simple little, I call it a clock with an attitude. It's a Clark Kent clock with superpowers. When you plug it in, it creates an energy shift like having the Dalai Lama show up and meditate in your room. That's not literally happening, because if the Dalai Lama did show up, you'd have to feed him, and when you plug in the comfort clock, it just brings in this pure healing energy.
Yes.
So I invite you to visit that. And now back to back to things with our friend here, Barbara. Barbara, this is wonderful. Now, I'd like to get a little bit of the scope of what you're doing. So, in other words, it's couples, individuals, families, businesses. How's all this kind of, playing out for you?
How this is playing out, and thank you for that question, and how this is playing out is I have, as I indicated, once I left my corporate career and knew that I was headed elsewhere, if you will, I began to develop, I merged talents and skills and developed something I call a wisdom connection. And it is using hypnotherapy, the process I learned for past life regressions, and my intuitive coaching practice to support individuals in connecting with their higher power, their deeper knowing, however the individual wants to define it. Once you begin, or I have, what's occurred is once I begin to assist people in connecting and gaining information, and the information gleaned during these sessions, and they are, again, using hypnotherapy, is much like the information in the book. It's recommendations. It's not something that must be acted on immediately. We are here in a free will universe. The sessions typically are 2.5 hours. They're very intense. And from that, the individual is able to then determine what they might want to do differently, what they might, beliefs they might want to shift, things they might want to look at in their life that could be worked differently. I also do this for small groups where we'll do what is a bit of a hypnotic approach, which is a guided visualization, any level of trance, and take groups into places. And when you're dealing with a group, you're dealing typically with a group energy. And one of the intentions we sometimes set with those small group energies is that the group operate at a more cohesive frequency. And when you do this and then you use the cute little tools like shift cards or belief card, those kinds of things, then the groups are able to naturally interface better. You spoke about the comfort clock, which I think is just an awesome, I'll call it a tool to use as we shift our world a bit. It has, for me, a very similar capability of assisting us to move to a frequency, an energetic frequency, that assists us in aligning better with our lives. And that's what the wisdom connection does, in a bit more of a conscious awareness approach. On the business scene, what I'm doing now, and I'm just kind of moving into it with any expansiveness, is I'm working more with individuals who are then moving into their business teams to begin to subtly and gently shift the thinking within those teams. So there's a lot evolving right at the moment. You mentioned early on the Conscious Connection Center. That's about the wisdom connection. It's also about connecting wellness practitioners. Some may call them healers. I like the word wellness. It leaves it nice and open so that we're able to connect with each other to better serve the client to reach the optimum place the client wants to be. That is also in its infancy, and it's coming along very nicely.
Okay.
A lot in play right now.
Yeah. Now, this session, that's part of the wisdom connection, someone could schedule a session with you?
Yes.
And you said that's, did you say 2.5 hours?
Absolutely.
Okay. And is there, like, preparation, beforehand? I didn't know, someone just show up, or do you kind of send them, paperwork, little things to kind of help guide them before to get the most out of this? Or, what would a person, anticipate having done this session with you?
What I do send them a little preparatory work. It's a list of questions, not for them to answer, for them to use to prompt their thinking on what questions they might want to ask of their higher guidance, deeper knowing, God source, you know, depending upon how they want to define it. The reason is 2 to 2.5 hours is we spend the first half hour creating comfort for me to learn more about the client to learn more about me. To go to the level that is optimum, to go be able to relax to the trance level that is optimum to bring in some incredible information, I have found it very useful to create that calm, to create that sense of safety. During that half hour, sometimes 45 minutes, we craft the questions that will be asked during this session. And then we go into a hypnosis process or hypnotic process, spend time. Sometimes it will show up as a past life regression. Sometimes the client will go straight into the spirit realm. I'm just scurrying to stay with them and be the best guide. When we reach the spirit realm, that is the point in time where, if appropriate, and I follow their knowing, where their guides come in and give them answers to their questions. The fun part of this, Ken, it's all fun, but one of the really delightful pieces for me is that the information from the guides comes through the client while the client is in trance. And this whole session is recorded. So the client then, I typically ask the questions, and the client then can hear their own response from their own guidance in their own words. And again, it's about ownership. It's about responsibility. It's about we have the connections. We have the knowing.
Ah, that's wonderful. That's beautiful. That's to be able to relax and be guided to connect to resources within ourselves that we may have known we had but couldn't connect to, or may not have known we had, and all of a sudden, wow, look, I get to discover this, and then to later hear it again and go, that was me.
Yes.
Look what I did.
That's what I did. And then the last half hour, and again, this is why sometimes it runs over, it's coming back out of hypnosis and out of trance, regrounding. I've taken, lots of notes on what occurred. So kind of talking through it, integrating it again, at a conscious level. Because some of the clients, they don't remember it all consciously. In fact, very few do. And then they're in choice. They have information and they're in choice.
Ah.
Isn't that beautiful?
Wow. I'll tell you. This is so wonderful. I am just excited to add a session with you to my wish list of things that I need to do for myself. And I want to encourage, as we are at the last minute here of our program, to folks to go visit Barbara Joy at either theshiftguru.com or the wonderful site about her book, the-light, LIGHT-1.com. And Barbara, any quick 2-10 seconds bye-bye comment as we wrap up?
Nothing, Ken, on me other than I just absolutely honor and respect what you're bringing to the world.
Oh, well, I am blessed, and I thank you, and I thank BBS Radio, and I thank God for the opportunity to bring forth to people such wonderful things as what you're doing, and to have some fun doing it so that we can move ahead and just feel the grace and love that is always present, and to have more of that pervade our lives. So, Barbara, thank you. Beloved listeners, thank you. Creator of all it is, thank you. Wish you all a wonderful week, and until we meet again, goodbye, and God bless you. Let go and let God. Let go.